This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour on a very crazy trading day. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. We have 42 degrees under cloudy skies. We're going up to 44 this afternoon.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago.
Coming up on today's Noon Business Hour, we'll talk more about the coronavirus and how it's affecting the markets. On Stock Picker Monday, we will get a stock recommendation from Michael Palumbo and a preview of the week ahead involving the end of earnings season.
Now, the latest on the spreading coronavirus and its impact on the global economy and markets. Let's get the latest from Abigail Doolittle, a reporter at Bloomberg in New York. Abigail, is part of the challenge here, we just don't know how much this virus is going to spread, whether it moves into pandemic level or not. There's a lot of uncertainty here.
There certainly is, Cisco. You've really hit the nail on the head there. And that's exactly what's going on here around the coronavirus in the markets, because we've known about this at least epidemic for more than a month. And initially, when the outbreak in China became clear in the middle to end part of January, stocks did sell off. But then for most of February, we had quite a bit of a rally. So investors and traders, many comparing it to SARS, which was somewhat capped. But over the last week or so, it's becoming very clear that the reach of this tragedy seems to be much greater. And at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, what will the influence on the economy be? How much will it cut into the global economic growth picture? Hugh Johnson Advisors was just mentioning the idea that it could cut the Chinese economy by a quarter to a half. That's a tremendous cut. We now have coronavirus in the Middle East, also in Europe. And one question is, will this tragedy spread here to the U.S.? Because we've already seen the coronavirus leak into our numbers. Last Friday, the PMI services number in contraction. You have a lot of these cruise line companies really having a rough time. Some of the casinos, a lot of the service businesses already being hit. Will that spread more ahead of the coronavirus possibly coming here to the United States? I think that that's something that perhaps traders, investors are reckoning with today.
Well, you have more and more countries essentially closing themselves off. And so that's a big hit to supply chains. Also to the travel industry. You just have people not going around as much.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I'm taking a look at the airlines right now. We have American Airlines, Delta, JetBlue, United Airlines all down sharply. American Airlines down 10% on the day. That's really pretty extraordinary, because that comes on other declines ahead of today's plunge, on the fear that as countries do start to quarantine themselves, starting off in China, and if you recall, the CDC was saying that that was the model to be followed. We also have that in Korea now. If other countries follow suit where there's quarantines of large people, it does suggest that travel will decline precipitously. So right now, American Airlines on pace for its worst day since June of 2016. That was the Brexit sell-off. That's the degree of fear we're seeing right now. We're also seeing that reflected in bonds. Bonds having their best rally since June of 2016 at one point. So investors all of a sudden wanting out of the growth assets and into haven assets, not just bonds, but also gold and the yen.
How about Goldman Sachs? I think I saw that Goldman Sachs lowered its U.S. growth outlook to do this. Is that correct?
You know, I actually did not see that report, but about 2 or 3 weeks ago, one of their chief economists did say that it seemed likely that the U.S. economy would be cut by about a quarter of 1%. And that was still when we were in the phase of comparing this more to SARS, thinking that it would be more finite and in its effect, whereas now the uncertainty is just so great. So even ahead of that, Goldman Sachs had been talking about the possibility of the U.S. Economic outlook being cut. One question around around that is Federal Reserve Chair Richard Clarida. He's not the overall chair, but he had joined Bloomberg News about a month ago in an exclusive interview with David Wesson, and he said that he was very concerned about this tragedy, but at that, this point we really didn't know if it was a one-quarter or two-quarter hit to the economy. It probably wouldn't change things all that much. But if it goes beyond one or two quarters, it could have a material impact, perhaps influence policy. Today's sell-off, and it's not just today. This is a three-day sell-off at this point, the worst since 2018, perhaps calls that into question. Will the Federal Reserve, in fact, in some way try to respond to this if it's seen as being, you know, some sort of a big drag on the U.S. economy?
Abigail Doolittle, reporter with Bloomberg, thanks so much for joining us.
We take a deep dive into all things coronavirus on this week's WBBM In-Depth Podcast. It's available now. Just search for the WBBM In-Depth Podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast.
Earnings season is wrapping up, while the week ahead will include key readings on the housing market and the latest tally of the gross domestic product. We welcome Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist, McClatchy Tribune News Services. And Tom, what are your thoughts on how this earnings season is shaped up?
Jennifer, it's all about the virus, right? It's all about what is what's COVID-19, the coronavirus, going to mean for the first quarter and the second quarter. And obviously, it's also beginning to influence really some supply chain concerns for American companies that rely on China manufacturing and for American companies that sell into China. So it goes both ways. Big concerns here. It has shown up on investor calls this quarter with great frequency, with big companies due to announce some of their latest quarterly numbers this week. We're at the tail end of earnings season, and if it were not for the virus, earnings season has actually turned out to be pretty good. We've seen the first year-over-year increase in earnings for the S&P 500 for the first time in a year. And so the optimism we've seen in market prices up until the last couple of days has really been borne out with the fundamentals we've seen that corporate America has been reporting.
You mentioned supply chains. When we talk about that, who's most in danger when it comes to that?
Well, you look, first of all, at companies that have a big footprint and a big consumer footprint, first of all, in China. I know Starbucks is a stock that's really taking a hit today. You got to take a look at Yum Brands. You have to take a look at some of the airlines and cruise companies that have growing operations there. And then on the flip side, you look at American companies that provide or get a lot of their supply in China. Nike, for instance, is one of those big Dow stocks that's helping fuel this 1,000-point decline we're seeing. Apple and its iPhone manufacturing is seen as very vulnerable to continued delays or continued quarantines in these areas of China that had been, frankly, the places where American companies had looked for Chinese manufacturing over the past number of years. And then the bigger question here, which is going to be a month-long, years-long conversation, is are these companies seriously rethinking their Chinese supply chain that has grown so important over the past 20 years since the last time American investors had experienced something like this in 2003 with SARS, when the Chinese influence into the United States in terms of business was much less than what it is today.
So we're seeing here, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing, but I think we're seeing what happens when every nation's economy is really intertwined with other economies all around the world. This globalization, when you get a virus like this, it can lead to real slowdowns pretty much all over the world.
Everywhere in the world, we're 24 hours from every place else in the world, right, Cisco? And so the vulnerabilities that this kind of infectious disease presents to the global economy and clearly for the health, the public health, is incredibly important and incredibly can be incredibly frightening. But I think we also want to take a step back a little bit here and look at, especially in the market today, where is the selling pressure the greatest? The selling pressure is the greatest in the companies that are most vulnerable, directly vulnerable, right? We're seeing it in travel stocks moving down. We're seeing it in consumer discretionary stocks. In other words, the stocks of companies that make things that people want but don't necessarily need to buy. And then, of course, we're also seeing it in energy stocks because of the potential softness in demand for energy as it relates to China that we've seen lately and maybe over the next several weeks or months, however long this this concern, and perhaps it only stays as a concern, but real public health worry remains.
Always good insight. Appreciate you being with us. Tom Hudson, the Week Ahead columnist for McClatchy Tribune News Services.
Up next, a discussion of Warren Buffett's annual shareholder letter.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Warren Buffett released his annual Berkshire Hathaway shareholder letter over the weekend. Let's talk about that with Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also a Fox News business contributor. His website, GaryK.com. Gary, obviously I want to get into that. I want to talk about Warren Buffett. But I want to ask you, as a longtime investor, market watcher, as you see the markets down like this today, more than 1,000 points, is it scary or is someone like you thinking, hey, let me start seeing if there's some deals out there?
Not just yet. When the market starts down, it doesn't end in a couple of days. It usually goes on for a bit. And just to give you a little perspective, since the day after Christmas 2018, in less than 14 months, the Dow is still up 33% and the NASDAQ is up 49%. That's like 4 years of gains in only 14 months. So this is way overdue. We just got a catalyst with the virus. We just got a catalyst with the thought process about how Bernie Sanders would handle the economy if he became president. And you're getting the sell-off here. I suspect there's more to go, and I'm sitting back putting my feet up.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, let's talk about Warren Buffett here. So he released his letter. What's in it?
The usual sanity. While people like me trade and invest, he invests in companies for the long term and has done one heck of a job throughout the years. And he had some just sane things to talk about, things like Bitcoin doesn't represent anything, don't overtrade, buy great companies and let them continue to grow. And look, he has stood the test of time. And I've seen in the past where people put him down because he had a couple of bad years and then boom, came back. I remember they laughed at him when he bought Apple because Apple was bearish at the time, and Apple's like tripled since. So not too many people laughing at him at this point in time.
One of the things that was funny, he was, I think on CNBC this morning, I saw him, was he was talking about Apple and the iPhone, and he said he finally got rid of the flip phone. And he said, you're looking at an 89-year-old guy who's barely beginning to get with it.
So, he's always been one that never really invested in technology. So when he invested in Apple, it was a real surprise. And again, I think he's recognized that Apple is like its own economy, and he loves things that dominate. He loves unbelievable brand names in the past. He owned Gillette before it was bought. He still owns Coca-Cola, owns Geico, you know, the big brand names that continue to do well in bad or good markets, as well as bad or good economies.
Yeah, he's someone we always have to listen to for sure. Thank you, Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Still ahead, donut delivery, a new fast food sandwich, and a candle that smells like meat. Actor Jussie Smollett pleads not guilty to disorderly conduct charges.
Harvey Weinstein is convicted on 2 of 5 charges at his sexual assault trial in New York City.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 990 points, the NASDAQ is down 362, and the S&P is down 111 points.
AccuWeather says cloudy with rain later this afternoon into this evening, could be mixed with sleet and snow at the onset, a high 44. It's 42 at O'Hare, 41 at Midway, 39 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago.
Markets are plummeting today. Right now, they're down 900. The Dow is down 991 points. The S&P 500 is down 112. The NASDAQ is down 362. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital here in Chicago, joins us. And Jack, what's your take on the markets and coronavirus? What's the biggest fear here?
Sure. Apparently, the biggest fear is that what was a Chinese epidemic could morph into a global pandemic now that we're seeing cases in countries like Iran and in Italy that could now spur other cases in those local countries. And, you know, because it's prohibiting meeting and business and production, it's really an economic story that for at least initially, economists had assumed it would be kind of Q1 and done. Now, perhaps some of the lingering effects could, morph into Q2 as well, particularly in China.
So that's what we're thinking about when we hear prolonged global economic slowdown, Q2?
Yeah, I think that's, because, the Chinese government did postpone a big meeting that they typically have right at the beginning of March. So already, if that does impair growth or decisions around growth and production into April, then, we're looking at, some Q2 impact.
So the concern, I think, when a lot of people hear coronavirus spreading, they think that it's about the illness and the death and that sort of thing. What's the concern for Wall Street is the fact that you're going to have countries being closed off and a general economic slowdown.
Yeah, that's it. Certainly there's all sorts of concern related to the human element of this. But in many respects, it's really not different than the flu itself, quite frankly. The survival rate is estimated to be in the, probably the mid-90s. So this isn't necessarily a worldwide killer, but the fear of, contracting the virus is really preventing a lot of, business and other commerce to take place.
In general, did you feel like the markets were fairly valued recently or maybe overvalued? Because we're having some analysts say, hey, we've grown so far so fast, a pullback was something that was inevitable.
Well, that's a great question, Cisco. I mean, let's take a look at last year. We had a market that rallied 30% on earnings growth, underlying fundamental earnings growth, that barely cleared 1%. So a lot of that move that we saw, in fact, most of the move we saw, was just valuation expansion on the back of easy interest rates. You know, at some point, interest rates are going to go to zero, and the Fed's going to flap its arms, and the investors aren't going to care anymore. So I do think that there is some concern that, there is a little froth in the system. And, longer term, this could be eventually be a good entry point.
What is going on with the airline industry and also other travel stocks? Are those particularly at risk?
I think so. So we've got obviously a 1-2 punch in the airline industry with Boeing having shut down production and the 737 MAX just still kind of mothballed for right now. On top of that, of course, the virus and the concern about travel and travel restrictions are impairing flights. And, just anecdotally, I have know people who have canceled cruises and not necessarily cruises in, the Pacific Rim or even around Italy that just decide, I'm going to just take a step back and wait and see. So, and these were cruises that were, booked in June. So I do think that travel is certainly impaired. And the problem with, these seats is once the flight goes empty, it's impossible to regain that revenue.
And what about the latest effect on the tech sector?
Yeah, that's particularly interesting given the fact that the tech sector has been rather impervious to some of these ups and downs, the vagaries of these local or global now economic conditions. I think here it is perhaps a rethinking of not just growth, but also valuation. They've enjoyed a cascading of cash over the last couple quarters. Perhaps now investors are preferring, just like the would-be cruisers, taking a wait-and-see attitude.
Thanks so much. Always good analysis. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital. A reminder, Noon Business Hour podcast always available on the radio.com app.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There is a trio of interesting stories in fast food today involving donuts, candles, and a chef's mistake. It spawned a sandwich. Let's get the details from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, let's begin with Krispy Kreme. They are taking donut delivery to a new level.
Well, the reason, Cisco, is very simple. With all the snow coming to Chicago, you've got to have your Krispy Kreme, and they're going to be delivering it. Now, what's interesting about Krispy Kreme is they've actually been testing the whole idea for a couple of years about delivery. The problem is that Krispy Kreme donuts taste best fresh. And if you're going to get them delivered an hour or 2 hours later, the company just has not been satisfied. So now what they're doing is they're partnering with DoorDash. You've got to be within 10 miles from a Krispy Kreme shop, and they're actually going to be charging you $4.99 as a delivery fee. You've got to buy at least a dozen donuts. You've got to buy the box coffee as well. But the good news is, especially in a snowstorm, you're going to be able to get Krispy Kreme donuts delivered.
That delivery fee, the $5 delivery fee, I mean, I guess it just shows someone's going to be serious about wanting these donuts if they're willing to tack that onto it.
Absolutely. And as we've talked about before, in delivery, whether it's food service delivery or whether it's supermarket delivery, nobody's making any money. So, you know, what I really do applaud for Krispy Kreme is they're going to be right up front. They're going to say you're going to have to pay for delivery. And this is especially going to be good for offices, for parties. I don't think that the average Krispy Kreme fan is going to shell out $5 and get a dozen donuts, but who knows?
A whiff of McDonald's in the air. What is the deal with fast food scented candles?
Well, it's interesting. You know, McDonald's is trying to figure out what they can do to get more people excited about, you know, the smell of a burger. And in fact, out of England, Charles Spence, who's an Oxford professor who really focuses on food, has actually developed an adhesive patch similar to, you know, for a nicotine patch for those people who want to stop smoking. But this is for those people who want to curb their cravings for bacon. So, you know, we're seeing both sides of it, where you can buy a candle at McDonald's that smells like a quarter pounder. I'm not sure that I want to smell like a quarter pounder in my house. But also you can get a patch so that you can avoid wanting that quarter pounder with bacon.
Okay, so I know both Cisco and I are up in arms on that one. But how about this? We'll stick with burgers. How about Burger King and Wendy's? What is Burger King's latest offering?
Well, what Burger King is doing, and frankly, it's not an original idea, and I'll share with that in a moment, is they have a new sandwich, which is just French fries. It's called the Chip Buddy. Basically, it's just French fries, mayo, and ketchup between two buns. And if you remember back a few years ago when Morgan Spurlock did that movie Super Size Me, the poster was of him just with a mouthful of French fries. So, you know, this is not a new idea. They're actually saying that it was an accident from one of their chefs who came across it. But basically, it's being sold only now in New Zealand for about $2, and you know they're going to see if it works. Frankly, I do think it will work. I think that there's a lot of people who love their fries, who are going to want a French fry sandwich, and I've seen it being done before, especially with kids, where they'll take some white bread, they'll put some French fries in it, they'll put some ketchup on it, and they eat a French fry sandwich. So who knows? This might be, you know, the best thing that's happened to Burger King in a while. However, Wendy's, you know, one of their competitors has really jumped on it, and they're very smart. What they did is they started tweeting, and I'll quote, "When literally anything would be better on a bun than their beef." So Wendy's is going after Burger King, saying their beef isn't good, but their French fries are good. So good for Wendy's and good for Burger King.
Yeah, there is certainly whoever's running that Wendy's Twitter feed is absolutely knocking it out of the park. Thank you, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us out with a pair of picks this afternoon is Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, looks like the first one is MasterCard.
Yes, so we're going with two growth stocks, one that would be hurt pretty bad by coronavirus, the other one that would not. So on this day when the market is down very big on pretty much fears of the coronavirus, I figured I'd look at one that would be fine and one that might get hit if this gets worse. So MasterCard's the one that is a global growth story. So, you know, if coronavirus ends up becoming a much bigger pandemic than what is thought, it is currently thought, then this stock may not do as well as we expect here at MJP Capital. But the stock is a proxy for overall global growth, and its earnings per share have been growing mid-teens to 20% a year for the last 3-4 years, and it's expected to earn $9.20 a share this year. That would put it at a forward PE at 35, which isn't cheap, but the stock is the best payments stock in the world, and everybody knows MasterCard. The brand is the gold standard, and they just announced a deal with People's Bank of China, and they're going to be moving into China, and that's going to be open up a huge new area of revenue for the company. And I think when things do settle down here with the coronavirus, this stock is going to start moving up big again. It was up 50% all of last year. It's still up, even though it's down 5% today. It's up 7% for the year, and it's gonna easily hit 400. Stock right now is in the low 300 to 324, but I expect it to hit 400 this year or early next year. And I just think it's the best of breed, and it's a great bet, even given that it does have some exposure to what could happen with coronavirus.
Okay, MasterCard is the first pick, ticker symbol MA. What's your second pick?
So Monster Beverage, MNST, here's a stock that is another growth stock. We like the growth names if it's growth with that's predictability with it. And Monster is one of those stocks. So it's up 20% in the last 3 months, 8% year to date. So another stock that's doing well this year. But, you know, in a day like today when the big market sell-off, the stock's only down 2% because it really doesn't get affected as much by this type of news. So, you know, people are going to – energy drinks are a huge consumer trend that's been going on for 20-plus years with Red Bull and Monster. Well, Red Bull's a private company. So if you want exposure in this area, the best name there is Monster. And they've done real well recently. They do report earnings after the bell Thursday, expected 46 cents on $1 billion in revenue. We don't expect the number to blow anybody out of the water because they never do, but they'll hit their number. And this is a company that is going to have a solid growth rate for the foreseeable future. And regardless of what happens with coronavirus or some of these other macro things, Monster Beverage should be a good play in any scenario. So we like it here, and you pair it with MasterCard, I think you got two great stocks.
Thanks so much, Michael Palumbo of TMT Perseverance Fund.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.